Blog Talk Radio.
Where did the time go? How did we get here? When did it get so hard? We can make it better, take to the wind, we'll ride it to the next part. You were a capsule buried in the snow. I found you in the springtime. I wanna open it up, I wanna know. Let's see what's on the inside.
Happy Saturday. You're listening to Bad Company with Gray Eyes Smith and Daniel Deschino. We also have Weaver of Dreams with us tonight. So it should be a great show. It's based on front page picks from July. And I think it's July. No, it's June. So, yeah, this is going to be a great show. I'm going to bring on the callers here. Just one second. Hello and welcome to the show, Katie.
Hello, my dear. It's great to be here.
Glad to have you. Thank you. And our co-host here, Daniel Deschino. How goes?
Hey, Gray. Hey, Weaver. How are we all doing there tonight?
Wonderful. Thank you.
Excellent.
Doing well, thank you.
Very excited. Cool, cool. I haven't talked to you, Gray, since last show, and Weaver in a little bit, too. Yeah, it seems like we have an awesome show. Lots of people on the board, I think. I saw Bill on there. I saw Naomi. I saw Stelina earlier. Who else was there? Somebody. Yeah, lots of people on the board, which is great. And I want to give a little bit of a shout-out to Louie Wildove and to Fill My Eyes as well for setting this up. They are amazing in the background. And Louie set this all up to add all the poetry and so forth. And also remembered, because I forgot to put the SoundClouds on. So thank you very much for helping us set this up. We're going to give it the greatest show we possibly can to keep up with your great work. But I'm excited to be here, Gray and Katie. Absolutely.
Awesome. Great. All right. So, Katie, how about you post the poems? Daniel, you ask for readers, and I'll ask for comments.
Okay, you caught me by surprise there. Not a problem. You just give me a second to get set up on the correct page, and I'll be with you, unless you want to put the first one up till I get organized. I thought I was going to sit back and do absolutely nothing except read today. Fool me. Oh, my goodness.
Well, I figure there's three of us, so I might as well make it a team effort, and I'll post the first poem.
Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, you're on the show now. It's a tripod here.
Good-o. I want to thank you both as well for being so helpful to get us through all these front page picks, because it was hard going for a little while to fit them in, so this has really helped.
Yeah, not a problem. I have been ridiculously, stupidly busy, so saves me time, actually, and the poetry is going to be amazing, so I'm excited.
All right, so the first link
all
is
right.
up, Daniel.
Okay, yeah, I will read that one. And this is by my good friend Ben Hart. This is called Whispers Caught in Tears of Amber, a collaboration by Ben Hart and Erskine. When I'm busy counting bombers and other empty vessels round the corners, she just stands there in lilac fields or in my nightmares, wearing either shadow or sunset of innocence undressed as she waits for the best of me. By another busy road in an anonymous town, too busy to cross or chase fading lights, but she doesn't want them slowed down or to see where they go into dark. Her eyes burn like twin suns on my neck. Every book of judgment she has written, she tethers to my back or buries within. She holds a familiar blade to stab from behind closed eyes just to see if I will writh or rise. Once the memories abrade, the woman in the wilderness will sit alone in overgrowth, stealing a smoke from my overcoat. With her frail veil of nonchalance, to play tag with my anxieties, now frigid fingers stalk the streaks. The tears left on my cheeks before they slowly close my eyes, and she steals my staggered breath and my sacrificial sobriety. Her toxic whispers leak from my wrists, flaying my weeping skin and honed sibilance. The midnight muse that fills the glass and drinks until it freezes and breaks. The drink of death spilled over spiteful stones thrown, baptized in sweat spent on conquering a state where none of us exists, when we're still something more than bones. Should I beg for forgiveness for the unknown, taking to Gray's knees in hollow supplication? Was the brass ring ever mine to hold her skin so cold because of me? Keep breathing through the chloroform. She sings the songs I sang her once, just to keep warm when the street's empty. End poem.
Fabulous read, Daniel. And they say he says in his author's notes, maybe you could read it, Daniel.
Sure, absolutely. So he did this with Erskine. This is Ben posted. Hold on a second. My mouse is acting up here. What he said was, sometimes two lines made up in an elevator and one friend responding is enough to speak of my proudest projects. This is but another of creative journeys I had with the great friend and mentor. He lifted me up and adventures me to a world beyond belief, nothing but love and thanks. Erskine, and for the rest of you, I urge you to collaborate with your friends, if nothing else. So you're just drinking alone. It's an eye-opening and very educational. Learn from each other. Lift one another up. Excellent advice by Ben Hart there. I haven't done a lot of collaborations on here. I've actually done some outside of here, but I should do more. So thank you, Ben, for that.
Well, great. Thank you for reading that. But, you know, I thought the poem was wonderful. You did a fabulous job of reading it. And yeah, you know, it was totally engaging throughout. By another busy road in an underground, anonymous town, too busy to cross or chase fading lights, but she doesn't want them slowed down or to see where they go in the dark. You know, how many times have you sat there and wondered where things go when they leave, when they're driving away? And that really captured my imagination. But also, her toxic whispers leak from my wrists, playing my weeping skin with honed sibilance, the midnight muse that fills the glass and drinks until it freezes and breaks, the drink of death spilled over, spiteful stones thrown, baptized in sweat, spent on conquering a state where none of us exists, when we're still something more than bones. Yeah, haunting. Well done, collaboration. Congratulations, Ben and Eski.
Yeah, absolutely. He was very...
Sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead. I think you were going to pick the readers, so go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to pick Katie.
So go ahead.
Hello, yes?
Katie, what
did you
think? Yes, what did you think of the poem?
I thought it was a great collaboration. It's not something I'm very good at, I have to admit. It's not something I really enjoy. But when it's done like this, and all the collaborations are wonderful, it really is. It's nice to read, because what you're trying to do is pick who wrote what part, and I love that of it. My favorite few lines here for me, with her frail veil of nonchalance, she played tag with my anxieties. Now frigid fingers stalk the streaks, the tears left on my cheeks, before they slowly close my eyes, as she steals my staggered breath and my sacrificial sobriety. I thought that was excellent. That has got so much in it. I mean, we're talking about, obviously here's somebody who's trying to make things appear a lot less serious than they actually are. And I really appreciated that. I thought it was beautifully written, as it all is. So thank you very much for sharing that with us.
Great comment, Katie. Thank you. And Daniel, what did you think of the poem that you read?
It was beautiful. I could kind of tell almost the collaboration. It seemed a little bit different than Ben's style, but you could see them really melding. It's actually really hard to, I think, pick out who kind of did which one. The only one I will guess is the second to last stanza, because it does have the word muse in it, which is basically, I believe, Ben's favorite word, because I know he uses it all the time. And I did like that one. Her toxic, I think you mentioned this, Gray, her toxic whispers leap from my wrists, playing my weeping skin and home sibilance. Almost like her, you know, he's almost describing like a suicidal, like blood coming out. It's really amazing. I just want to comment on the title, because I think the title is absolutely genius. Whispers Caught in Tears of Amber. That is absolutely amazing. So Tears of Amber thinking like it's just something that is just lasting forever, right? I think of amber as this, you know, the substance that can, you know, be petrified and last forever and ever. And whispers caught in that. So just some hidden secret that was caught in this heartbreak that just lasts forever and ever. What an amazing way to say that. Like, again, whispers taught in tears of amber. Love that title, absolutely. But yeah, amazing. Very, very well done. And Katie, how do you feel about posting now?
I feel wonderful about posting. I am totally there and with you. Well, just about. I have got for you.
Excellent.
Morning Has Just Broken by Sidewinder.
Excellent, excellent. And let's get Gray to read that one.
Okie dokie. So that morning has just broken by Sidewinder. That clear water, deep pools, topaz in color. Just to the left runs a waterfall where a trout jumps after a grasshopper. Blood-red sandstone surrounds the drifts, yellow blossoms of cactus spot the landscape. An old trail follows in the distance where the morning has just broken and the day smiles on. Oh, that was beautiful. What are your thoughts, Daniel?
Yeah, it's really great. I love descriptive poetry. I'm not very good at it. It's just one of the reasons why it always... it fascinates me. I wish I could write descriptive like this. Every time I try to write something descriptive, I just get off on some philosophical tangent. So to be able to do something like this is beautiful. It's great. It really paints a picture, I think. And, you know, I can almost see where they are. You know, just to the left one's a waterfall where a trout jumps after a grasshopper. Sandstone surrounds the cliffs. The yellow blossoms of cactus spots the landscape. Just really, really beautiful. He sets this tone of peace. And there is some sort of a peace to that when morning just broke. You know, the scariness of nighttime is gone, and there's that kind of twilight where there's just some peace. I'm gonna pull a Bobby here, one of my old co-hosts who used to always quote movies, and there's a great movie called I'm going to space it here now, Lady Hawk. And it's about these two people who can only see, these two lovers who can only see each other at dusk and dawn. It's almost like that's where their peace is, and it kind of, in an obscure way, reminds me of that movie, where that peace of before the craziness of the day and the scariness of the night. So, beautiful sidewinder, nice job.
Great comment, thank you, Daniel. And Weaver, what are your thoughts?
Well, yes, I thought this was lovely as well. And as you said, Daniel, there's a peace to it. There's a nice, sweet gentleness to it, which is lovely. It totally reminds me, probably not the same kind of weather conditions, but it reminds me of swimming in a pool up in the Highlands of Scotland with a waterfall and watching the salmon desperately trying to leap up and coming back down and leaping up. Oh, I felt so sorry for them. My goodness me, what an effort they make. So yes, this completely reminded me of that. It was a wonderful day, and I can see this would have been a wonderful day as well. So beautifully done. Thank you so much, Sidewinder, for sharing.
Man, what I wouldn't do is swim in the Highlands of Scotland one day.
I hope you do, because I'll show you around if you get over this end of the world, because it's a beautiful place. And it's empty.
That sounds absolutely amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, sorry to mute you.
Yeah,
great.
I really like his, where he says, run to waterfall where a trout jumps after a grasshopper. I mean, that's one of my favorite things, is to see fish jump out of the water after their meal. It's, I don't know, it just, what a way to have to live, to have to wait for that perfect moment to leap out of your water, your sanctity, your home, and fly into the air, you know, as if you had wings or something, and take another dimension into your reality, which is kind of cool. Always fascinated me. So great job, Sidewinder. All right, Weaver, what do we have next?
Okay, next we have The Package by Chinesky, and this is a SoundCloud, I think. Gray.
Okay, I will play it. Here we go.
Over the years, brown photos, dusted trails stand before small, insignificant moments, roadside capsules locked up. Droplets of our leaky faucet neatly packed into a box. And you're gone. Same jagged imperfections stuffed with rhythmic rondo. The Chinese buffet all-you-can-eat menus with small tours of the dishes opening all of our fortune cookies until the right one became destination. Do you remember the dinner in Coconut Grove? I was dressed in street rags. My poetry and the facts of survival red-stained, dropping like a rock. And today, you give me the package.
Wow, what a reading. And he says in his author's notes, my father recently passed away, and my relatives found a package from him addressed to me. I will receive this package, ironically, on July 4th. I can only relate to this beautiful poem prompt, The Scent of Apple Cake, in anticipation of its contents, which will be complementary to our moments throughout the years. So, wow, that was hard-hitting. What did you think, Daniel?
Yeah, that's, it's really amazing. I can't imagine that after your father passes away and then you get a present from him, so he must have sent that, you know, one of his last things. I still have voicemails from both my mother and father, which is really interesting. Every once in a while when I just really, really miss them, I'll play the voicemails and hear their voice, which is, you know, something, it's modern technology, right? They can give you that. It reminded me of that. But I like this, how he, you know, over the years, the brown photos, dust trails, you know, but it's a small, insignificant moments locked up, and he just kind of goes through some of those small insignificant moments that he remembers, but sometimes those are the ones, you know. If we all think back to our lives, you know, it's the big things, but sometimes it's these little things that you just remember and you don't know why. You know, just small little memories. Like you can, you know, maybe with his father, he was at some event, and it's not the whole event he remembers, just this one moment with him. So yeah, very touching and beautifully written. And I hope you save that package forever, Chinaski, if you're listening.
Yeah, absolutely. Great comment. Thank you, Daniel. And Weaver, what are your thoughts?
Oh, I thought this was there's a sadness. There's a real sadness to this. It's awful to lose a parent. But the absolute surprise of finding that there had been a package left for him. I mean, my goodness me. You would be, will I open it? Will I not open it? Should I leave it? Should I just keep holding it? Oh, my goodness. Amazing. Amazing. I really, really enjoyed it. And I liked the message in the AN as well. That was lovely. I particularly like that last few lines there. Do you remember the dinner at the Coconut Grove? I was dressed in street rags. My poetry and the facts of survival, red stain dropping like a rock. And today you give me the package. Ah, wonderful. Thank you so much for sharing that with us. It's a lovely, lovely memory.
Yeah. You know, I found it beautiful and reverent to his father, you know. Speaks to the love that he has for his father and the memories they share together. Droplets of our leaky faucet neatly packed into a box, and you're gone, save jagged imperfections stuffed with rhythmic Toronto. You can feel his heart in his words, and I thought it was just a beautiful, beautiful expression of that. So thank you for sharing, Trinowski. All right, where are we to next, Weaver?
Okay. Next we have Sinful Bloodline by Sector Hunter.
All right, and I think it is my turn. So yeah, Sinful Bloodline. Searching for the one. The one to break your chains, letting you run wild, free beside her. Feeling her presence drawing near, a pressure of pure desire calling out, causing a hunger within, an aching for her touch, a longing to be drained by her love. The pleasure of knowing she is satisfied with every sip of the soul, causing her fires to burn stronger. That need to take her, wrap her in ecstasy, feeding from the eruptions of her orgasmic bliss. Fueling your flames, merging with hers, creating a wild blaze, an inferno of passion. The wild beast to his dark succubus, both growing stronger with every chant of your lustful rituals. Reaching the heavens with your power, love growing stronger, an unstoppable force that neither ever wanted to end. Two lost souls now whole in one another's embrace. Journeys now complete. Carnal desires mixing, a prince finding his princess. Dark royalty born to prowl the night. Illuminate the shadows with your sinful play of master and pet, all the while lost in a trance. Uncontrollable rhythm, sending out waves from your lust, shaking dimensions. Etching your mark in one another, blessing each other in the purest of ways. Giving and taking, both collared and chained, eyes only for each other, never wanting to stray. Unbreakable dark bond of lovers swaying in your hunger, your insatiable thirst. Drawing out more day after day, seeing every side of one another. Firing body and soul, leaving nothing to hide. Comfortable with scars showing to be cleansed by sensual touch. Worshipping all that's found, calling out each other's names in your debauchery's games. Tantalizing all the senses. Dominate, submissive. Screams matching growls and simultaneous release. Demon seed flooding a fertile womb. Your essence merging, a beautiful new life created from two loving black flames. Sharing one last tryst of oral explosion, tasting of the sweetest of ambrosia before taking your thrones. Ruling the night, now as king and queen, proudly watching your youngling grow within. Smiling with wicked glee, knowing energy from you both courses through him, awaiting the day he will grow and take a lover, his dark princess. End poem.
Beautiful read, Daniel. And it's a powerful story. I mean, you know, this is, seems like it's a Wednesday night subject, but other than that, it was great. He wrote to the prompt, "The hunt hits different when her appetite matches his. Scarlet lips beckoning that wolf growl. All hunger and insatiable desires that make kings weep and queens howl." So you know, he captured the prompt quite beautifully. And but I really enjoyed "the pleasure of knowing she is satisfied with every sip of the soul, causing her fires to burn stronger, that need to take her wrap, her in ecstasy, beating from the eruptions of her orgasmic bliss." Wow, that was metaphorically rich. "And then giving and taking, both collared and chained, eyes only for each other, never wanting to stray." You know, when you do find somebody that you love and you want to be with, you don't look around for others to play with. You know, you've got the one that you need in your arms. So I thought it was beautiful. Beautiful and dark. So well done. Thank you for sharing. And what are your thoughts, Daniel?
Sorry about that muting. Yeah, it was, you know, it really covered every aspect of ecstasy, I think. Here, it wasn't one line I really liked. I liked it was almost kind of, you know, back and forth of power, submissive dominance. It's just the uncontrollability of when you're, you know, that passionate about somebody. And described in so many different ways. Yes, and it is a story, but to me it wasn't even just a story of like one night. It was a story almost of an entire, you know, passionate relationship. I'm trying to find the one line here at the beginning. I read it, you think I would remember it. Anyway, you know, that's what I think the whole thing was about. I thought it was, you know, really beautifully and tastefully done. Yeah, it definitely seemed like a Wednesday night one, but well-deserved a front-page pick. Amazingly, poetically written. Great job.
Great comment, Daniel. Thank you. And Weaver, what are your thoughts?
Oh, yes, this was, this, as you say, covered every aspect of loving someone and wanting to be with someone. I particularly liked the stanza that was, which is it? "Worshipping all that's found, calling out each other's names in your debauchery's games, tantalizing all the senses." Well, I mean, that's a fabulous thing, isn't it, really, when you think about it, tantalizing all the senses. You just go on from there. Wonderfully done. I really enjoyed all of it. I thought it was very smooth, very sensual, on the right side of tasteful, which is great, but obviously very sexy as well. So very well done. Thank you so much for sharing that with us. It was great.
Absolutely wonderful comment. Thank you, Weaver.
And where are we going next?
All right.
Yeah. Well,
who do we have? We have one posted here, I think. Let me see. So this would be Gray. This would be your turn.
This one has a SoundCloud.
Oh, then not your turn, Grace. Sorry. Yes,
well, I think what I'll do is I'll just go ahead and post one when we've all finished talking. That saves the delay, and then we'll know what we're doing. So that's it. Yeah, this one's got a SoundCloud, I think.
Cool.
Yeah. Okay, here we go.
Oh,
That was actually the SoundCloud. I clicked on it, and it was him talking. I think we might have, either might have been posted, or maybe they downloaded the wrong one.
Oh. All right, well, I can give it a read.
Yeah,
this is my average white man, a different corner. I'm not the man I once was. I am but a shadow without shape. Where once my poetic fires raged, now I now slowly lick my finger and gently turn the linen page. Where might me be had our yearning spirits never met? Might we be content with the rain without cognizance of the sun and no currency of romance in our hearts to be spent? If we never felt the sun, why would we wander to our lonely selves where the warmth had gone? Where would we be if our eyes had never lingered or our lips had never touched? Happy and free we would be of this quiet, enduring agony. What if I stayed upon the straight path of piety with my spine upright and strong, my heart impervious to temptation, oblivious to your siren song? And yet your voice echoes through the resonant hallways of this man of shadow, much maligned, and the secrets I continue to hide twist and stretch my insides. The rot, the knotted pine of my mind, the soaring strings of my heart play a mournful melody of a love without remedy. When the night descends upon me and the stars have lost their spark, I turn a different corner and give myself to the dark. End poem. Well, that was haunting. He says in his author's notes, he says, I think George Michael is an artist deserving of great credit. And although my music taste tends to lean towards the alternative, I generally love a lot of his work, particularly his more mournful songs. On a personal note, I think that falling in love is a joyous and life-affirming experience. But sometimes I wonder if it's worth the disproportionate agony on the other side. Well, what did you think, Weaver?
Well, I have to say I agree totally with Average White Man on that. I have always said that love is a dangerous thing, because when it works, it's absolutely wonderful. But as he says, when it doesn't, sheer unadulterated agony. And it's not very nice. So, yeah, if we're very lucky, it's wonderful. Let's all hope, fingers crossed, everybody has wonderful relationships. But yes, I thought it was very cleverly written. I really enjoyed it. All of it, it just flowed so beautifully. It was a lovely read as well. But I liked, where would we be if our eyes had never lingered or our lips had never touched. Happy and free we would be of this quiet, enduring agony. Oh, my goodness me. Yeah, beautifully done. Thank you so much for sharing that with us, Average White Man. It was wonderful.
Excellent comment. Thank you, Katie. And Daniel, what did you think?
Absolutely. And this one, the gold in a contest, well-deserved. And I agree. I didn't think it was going where it was going because it's just, first it was exploring, you know, which is a very important question that you always have to ask. You know, what if it didn't happen, right? What if I didn't meet my wife? What if you didn't do this? What if I didn't take this job? Or, you know, how would your life have turned out, right? It's a very interesting question, and I, like I said, it was a good twist. I didn't think he was going where he was going, but then he went happy and free via this quiet enduring agony. You know, what if I, and so, you know, just thinking about that when you are he's in this relationship, I believe he's talking about that he can't get out of, for whatever reason, he has these secrets, that he keeps. When the night descends upon me and the stars have lost their spark, I give myself into the dark. So he just kind of hides in there, and that's the place he can hide and be almost be free. But yeah, it is an important question. You kind of look back, you know, and to me the answer is, who cares? Because here's where you are now, right? Can't think of what you should have done, just what you are going to do, but. Interesting thought, and he did a great job portraying it. So, liked it. Awesome. Sorry, Average White Man, about the SoundCloud, but anybody listening, definitely check out his SoundCloud with this. It's really good. All right, cool. So, let's keep on trucking here. And what do we got coming up tonight?
We have Ghosts Come Back Again by Richard Wiseman.
Richard, and I think this is your turn, Kate.
Okay, cool. No problem. Just let me get it opened. Oh, it's working. I don't believe this. Well, I'm very happy to read this, Richard. Thank you for the opportunity. Ghosts Come Back Again. Stagnant waters of my interior Atlantic are still haunted by echoes of his foghorn loneliness, while broken screens of gulls, young and old, glitter Carnegie's midday sky. Through dusty funhouse Coney Island mirrors, I snap Nikons of white mistiness and vainly struggle to recapture your lemon life long since squeezed dry. Click, clack, clack, click. Of glass and case stock tickers, still they grieve and magnet you back here to where wall meets broad. Elongating shadows of towers at dusk mar the green space at battery, while speeding subways rumble underfoot, all call out in unison, ghost. Come back again. End poem. And I'll read the AN if you would like me to. No problem. Prompt 6, all lost and by the wind grieved. Ghost come back again. Thomas Wolfe. I think I must be in the prompt. For my father, Morris Wiseman, 1931 to 2008. Carnassie, Brooklyn was still in one of New York garbage dumps when my dad was growing up in the 30s and 40s. They had a saying, it stinks from here to Canarsie. Coney Island, Brooklyn, is one of NYC's amusement parks. The NYSE is located at Wall and Broad Streets. Battery Park is situated at the southmost tip of Lower Manhattan and is literally shadowed by downtown skyscrapers. Pardon me for that. And that's it. Thank you.
Beautiful read, Katie. And what did you think of the poem, Daniel?
I thought it was really interesting. And Richard has an amazing literary mind, hence the show that he does, which is themed around literary prompts. And so I can, I understand where he got that off of Thomas Wolfe. So stagnant waters of my interior Atlantic are still haunted. I really like that. You know, I think he's talking about stagnant waters. I don't know if he's talking about just the blood in him that, you know, talking about our origins or even just talking about the Atlantic Ocean that's in his memories. Well, broken scenes of gulls with little carnassies in the midday sky. You know, really kind of talking, like elongating, let me get to the Empress, elongating shadows of towers at dusk, mar the green space at battery, excuse me, second battery park, while speeding subways rumble underfoot. You know, really interesting imagery in this. I'm going to have to read this one again, I think. So he's got me, as you can tell, I'm having trouble thinking because he's got me thinking like the whole time that I'm reading this. This is a sign of a great poet. This one is very, very interesting and very inventive. I think he hit the prompt perfectly. So awesome job, Richard, as always. And thanks for sharing.
Absolutely. You know, I thought it was powerful. You know, it speaks to the city that he lived in and grew up in, which was Brooklyn. And you capture that in this, right, you know, with the Coney Island mirrors, I snap Nikons of white mistresses and vainly struggle to recapture your lemon light, long since squeezed dry, click, clack, clack, click, of glass and case stock tickers. Still they grieve and magnet you back here to where the wall meets broad. Fascinating, right? Powerful pen. Thank you so much for sharing, Richard. And Weaver, what are your thoughts?
Oh, yes, definitely. I mean, I love the part about the stagnant waters of my interior Atlantic are still haunted by echoes of his foghorn loneliness. That is very powerful. But that last stanza, elongating shadows of towers at dusk mar the green space at battery while speeding subways rumble underfoot. So good. And then we have the dénouement. All call out in unison, ghost, come back again. Fabulous, really is. I really enjoyed it. Thank you so much, Richard. It was a pleasure.
Great comment, thank you.
And what we have next? We have next Dirge for Planet Earth by Miriam Kilmer. Would you like me to read this one, or would you like to put on a nice little voice?
Yeah, you can read it, Weaver.
Thank you. I appreciate Miriam very much. One of my favorite people. Dirge for Planet Earth. Earth's fissile soil cracks dry, gray dirt, scattered with lifeless pebbles. My salty dribbles drop like melting ice, watering a tiny spot on this arid plain. Green and gold, a trembling shoot sprouts from the sludge. On every side, heaps of smouldering slag and plastic trash smother the dying land. My shoot seems small and tatty. Grey sky sinks all around like a cloak of lead. Towering skyscrapers lose their tops in the toxic clouds. They crumble, rumble, collapse to rubble as tsunami tides submerge their lower levels. Sludge stinks oozing from every crack. Whales arise from grisly debris. Are we too late? Has greed gobbled up our blooming paradise? I run toward the wretched hells. I don't give up. End poem.
Beautiful read. And I like it, you know, it speaks to the world that we live in and that we're engaged in right now, where we're being buried by our own garbage, you know, and the stench of it is just killing us. And sludge stinks, oozing from every crack. Walls arise from grisly debris. You know, I don't know if anybody's ever seen a landfill, but they're just amazingly disgusting. And, you know, now we're taking our garbage and we're burying it in the sea, which is tragic to me. I mean, toxic waste included is being dumped into the sea. What cost is this to us all in our future? You know, it's very tragic. So it was a hard-hitting poem, well-written and well-read. Thank you, Weaver. And what are your thoughts, Daniel?
Yeah, don't get me started on what we're doing to the environment. You're right, landfills are, and what's even more disgusting is if you can find the pictures or, you know, Google Maps of the places, the third world countries that are these dumping grounds for like e-waste and recycling and so forth, it's just actual dumping grounds, you know. I live by a small river that goes out into the sea, and every time there's rain, I look at it, and it's just this oils and, you know, garbage that I see floating down, which is really scary. I like the gray sky sinks all around like a cloak of lead, towering skyscrapers in the toxic clouds. And it is true, the sky, especially nowadays with all the fires that we have, you know, everybody always says that the environment, the earth, they talk about the earth, the angry earth and everything. The earth is fine. The earth keeps coming back. You know, I see it all the time. I see, you know, cracks in the sidewalk and stuff comes back. The sky, that's the problem. It's the atmosphere that we're making angry. That's what's going to get us. And what you were talking about, Ray, with the landfills again as well. I've been watching these old shows about food in the United States, about the origins of food, and I realized this, but it never really hit me until I was watching these shows that canned goods and plastic things have been around since like the Depression, you know. So we've been filling the trash for like 100 years, and I was watching these kind of these canned and packaged things in the 30s and 40s. And thinking, like, where is that right now? You know, that's in a landfill somewhere that's still not decomposed and gone. And just, my entire lifetime, we've been filling up, landfills and dumping garbage places. And it's so frightening. And I don't know how to stop it. But I am going to stop this soapbox because I will go on forever about it. Really, really well told. I like the very end. The very end, Miriam, is beautiful. I don't give up. I don't think we should give up. I think we can totally fix it. It's just going to take a lot of work. I don't think it's doom and gloom yet, so I really appreciate that. But yeah, great job.
Fantastic comment, Daniel. Thank you. And Weaver, what are your thoughts?
Well, I really enjoyed this a lot. I understand exactly what she's talking about. Unfortunately, the kind of people that we are not going to start doing anything or banding together to do anything until it's far too late. And then we'll panic and then we'll run around screaming and there won't be enough air. So, I don't know. I have no way of knowing what can be done. We've heard of the Bronze Age. We've heard of the Iron Age. We've heard of all those different ages throughout time. And when they come to look at our particular part, we will be known as the plastic age, because that's what we are. You can't get rid of it. It'll just keep on. It will always be there. So that's what we are. We are the plastic age, and that's quite scary. So well done, Miriam. I really enjoyed it. I was really pleased to read it, and thank you so much for sharing.
Absolutely. Wonderful comment. Thank you, Weaver. All right. Where are we to next, Weaver?
And what? Next we have... What? Next we have Mother Daughter by Sarah Gosa.
All right, cool. I will give this one a read. Balled up under her coat, surrounded by her perfume, on an ancient chaise lounge. The grown-ups in another room, the kitchen, making afternoon tea. Their tones, muffled lullabies, filter down the hall through the den. Each pitch a sacred fiber, leading back to its speaker. Familiarity in abundance, overstimulated back-to-back marathon of gatherings. Perception rings like a dull gong, her furry collar cushioning my head from the cracked upholstery, enveloped in shade, primal comfort. The smell of warm tea incensing the air, a meld of honey and tobacco. The groan of an AC unit releasing me into oblivion. End poem.
Beautiful read, Daniel. And what did you think of the poem, Weaver?
Oh, yes, this is very atmospheric, isn't it? This really takes you exactly to where she wants you to be. I mean, you can see it. It's painted for you in words, which is wonderful. So you have these little mind pictures. But I love that first stanza. I mean, that sets it for me. Balled up under her coat, surrounded by her perfume, on an ancient chaise longue. Very nice. And then they have everything going on in another room. I love it. So cool. And then we have perception rings like a dull gong, her furry collar cushioning my head from the cracked upholstery, enveloped in shade primal comfort. Oh, lovely. Beautifully written. I really, as I say, it really painted a picture for me. So thank you, Sarah, for that.
Absolutely. I thought it was a wonderful write, too. You know, very picturesque. You can see everything that you read, and you're there with her, and smelling the warm tea, and, you know, the melt of honey and tobacco. You can smell that, and I thought it was just a beautiful write on the subject of a mother and a daughter, you know, hanging out together. Beautifully done. Thank you for sharing, Sarah. And what are your thoughts, Daniel?
I thought it was beautiful. You know, I was talking before about these kind of simple memories, and the house I grew up in, I you know, I was a little kid, obviously, and I still do remember, like, just sitting on the floor watching television or sitting on my father's lap. I mean, I'm 6'4". Crush him if I sat on his lap now, but, you know, I remember that, and I kind of remember, you know, like doing that, and so you can picture yourself. This is what I loved about this poem. It's like a picture myself as the kid, you know, kind of snuggled up with the parents, and it's like everything's safe there, you know. Grown-ups in another room doing things, but you're kind of safe with mom, just listening to what's going on, you know. But she's still protecting you, and that's the feeling of a good family, is where when you're with your parents, you know, even when they're older, whatever, you're still somehow, they're still, you know, kind of protecting you and still holding you, you know, always. Now that I have a kid who's, you know, who's an adult, he's 20, he's going to be 21 in a few months, you know, you still want to protect them all the time. You still want to help them. So that was just a really beautiful picturesque poem that, again, I could feel and relate to. So, excellent, Sarah. I just followed you because I was very impressed with this, so can't wait to read more. All right. What is our life going to be like now, Kate? What do we got?
Sorry, I muted myself again. I do apologize. Yeah. A Life Turned Upside Down by John Wright.
Cool. And this would be all you, Gray, I believe.
Alrighty, here we go. So we have A Life Turned Upside Down by John Wright. He led an uneventful life until the day before. When he walked home, he stubbed his foot on something on the floor. Looking down, he saw a hat with two protruding handles. Thanked his lucky stars that he wasn't wearing sandals. Lifting up the door, he spied a ladder leading down. Thought he'd spend an evening exploring underground. The darkness of the tunnel made him wish that it was brighter, but the fates were on his side. His pocket held a lighter. Holding out a feeble flame, he ventured bravely on through narrow, winding passageways, oppressive, dark, and long, that led him to a cavern, vast and subterranean. Bats hung down from the vault above. Transylvanian. Good evening, said a voice from somewhere in the gloom. Tonight I've been expecting you. Welcome to my room. He spun around to face the sound. His legs were all a tremble, a swooping shape, a flying cape, did his eyes dissemble. A heaving chest and sheer black dress concealed delights beneath. She smiled at him with blood-red lips and gleaming, pointed teeth. 4,000 years I've lived alone, and now I need a partner. And from that night he sleeps each day, hanging from a rafter. End poem.
Wow, that was very, very interesting. And he said down in his author's notes, struggled with 14ers. Not a meter I've tried before, but ghostwriters came to the rescue. Yeah, interesting. You did a great job. Hey, anybody that rhymes subterranean with Transylvanian is all right in my book. That was an amazing rhyme. I loved it. So, yeah, this is fun. I thought this was a blast, you know. I thought this was fun. And, just a fun story of you know, this guy who just kind of falls into vampires, you know, vampires' fate, and it was really well done and well told. And great job, great read, great job with the voiceovers there with the vampire there, with the evening. But I thought the descriptions are great, and it was a lot of fun. I love story. I'm a big fan of story poetry. I've tried to write it a couple of times myself, but not as good as this. And the rhyming, he did a great job with the 14ers, but the rhyming and the meter was really perfect and hard to do. So awesome job. A Life Turned Upside Down too is a great little pun, right? So A Life Turned Upside Down, like his life is gone, but he's also turned upside down because now he hangs from the rafters, right? So nice little pun on the title, which makes me very happy. So awesome job.
Great comment. Great comment, Daniel. Thank you. And Lieber, what are your thoughts?
Oh, I thought this was absolutely fabulous. Absolutely fabulous. I love anything that's got comedy in it. Anyways, you gather, I'm a sucker for a good laugh. But I thought he did this so well. I mean, it was just perfect. It just flowed along there. I liked it so much. Lifting up the door, he spied a ladder leading down. Thought he'd spend an evening exploring underground. The darkness of the tunnel made him wish that it was brighter. But the fates were on his side. His pocket held the lighter. Clever boy. Oh, love it, love it. Very well done. Thank you so much for sharing that. It was a delight.
Yeah, I agree. You know, it's got a wonderful storyline to it. And a play on the title is great. It was fabulous, right? Thank you for sharing, John Wright. Appreciate it.
All right, cool. And
next we have All Gave Some Tribute to Our Heroes, D-Day Poetry by Red Summertime.
Cool. And I think we're at your turn if you wanted to give it a read. Hey.
Is that me? Yeah. Yeah. No problem. Happy to. All Gave Some Tribute to Our Heroes, D-Day Poetry by Red Summertime. Amazing picture, my goodness me. Some of the great gave all, and all gave some. All sacrifices made for freedom come. Our heroes lost their lives and cut too short, so we can live with honor and support. Their call to duty and their selfless act caught in a moment of not looking back, for they fought with valor, with all they'd got. Their true love of country set up the plot. From sea to shining sea, the expanse they roam, responding to the call to leave their home, far from family, loved ones near and dear, to take the fight to foes they do not fear. We honour them, the bold, the free and true, for all they have done in red, white and blue. Their names will live in love, tears, hearts and minds. Their true spirits loom in the land that shines. The land of the free, the home of the brave, their sacrifice and courage their way pave. A path of honor for us to follow. Their legacy lives in hearts that hallow. Some of the great gave all and all gave some. We'll never forget the battles they've won. For our freedom and sacred given right, their sacrifice will always be in sight. End poem.
And did you want to give the author's notes a quick read, please?
Yes, of course. Some gave all gave some, sacrifices made for our freedom. Inspiring quote, K, my dear friend and poetess, here in AP, left along with her comment in the poem I wrote for Memorial Day in remembrance, poetry for Memorial Day, which in turn inspired me to write a second poem about D-Day beach landings in Normandy by the Allied forces in the northern part of France on June the 6th of 1944. The quote is attributed to the Korean War veteran Howard William Osterkamp, who served in the army from 1951 to 1953. With love and gratitude in my heart, I dedicate this poem to Kay and her father Bernard. May our bonds forever last. This poem is written in that's not any part of it. But yes, that was it. Thank you.
Well, thank you for reading that, Katie. And That's such amazing sand sculpture, you know, these the landing boat of a, on a D-Day. But, you know, it really is a very tributary poem of honor to the soldiers that fell and their loved ones that wait at home for them. And, you know, some that will wait forever, unfortunately. Some of the great gave all and all gave some. We'll never forget the battles they've won for our freedom and sacred given right. Their sacrifice will always be in sight. You know, how can it not be when your freedom is there because they fought and lived and died for it? So I thought it was a powerful poem, very well written. And thank you for sharing Red Summertime. And what are your thoughts, Daniel?
Yeah, I agree with you, and the picture is amazing. You know, what bravery, if you've ever seen Quoting Movies Again, like my friend Bobby there, you know, Saving Private Ryan, they portrayed this, and, you know, sitting ducks these people were. They had to go out, they had to storm the beaches, and when they came out of the transports, they were jumping into water and open fire, you know, like literally just hoping they made it, which they did. And I mean, what an incredible bravery. And it is a you know, the youngest people who are in World War II now are in their 90s, you know, or older. And I don't know if there'll ever be another war like that. I hope there isn't. To love of God, please, let's hope there isn't. But that type of a war, that type of fighting, that type of, you know, hand-to-hand combat is, you know, such an amazing thing. My father, I mentioned him earlier, he was a Marine in World War II. He wasn't old enough for that. He was actually in the South Pacific. But he, you know, told me stories about it, and yeah, it was a different time, and it was you know, really a fight for freedom for the whole world. Amazing what one guy, Hitler, can spark. And I know Mussolini was there, and Japan was there too, but Hitler started it, and what one guy in a small country of like Germany can just, you know, cause so much chaos in the world. And how much we had to fight to fix it. So it is something, you know, I'm kind of obsessed with history, and I hope young people forever will study, you know, and remember those things. But this is beautifully written by Red Summertime, a great tribute to our D-Day, D-Day heroes. God bless them.
Absolutely wonderful comment, Daniel. Thank you. And Weaver, what are your thoughts?
Ah, oh, yes, it breaks my heart. Our finest and fittest cannon fodder. I mean, it's just awful, awful, awful. Hunt for power and money, that's the only thing that matters. And that just makes me sick, really does. I was born when they were still rationing, and my poor mother was desperate to be sure that she had reached the age of 18 before I was born, because otherwise she would have had a child's ration card. But luckily, she became 18 in the September, and I wasn't born till the October, so she had her adult ration book. Oh, my goodness me, the times they lived through. It must have been awful. I mean, to go away to work and come back not knowing if your house is going to be in pieces, on, you know, and people killed again and again. Oh, man, awful. I can't even imagine it. I really can't. And I hope to goodness we never have to, because these poor heroes, they did so much. They did it. Actually, stood there and they did it. They stood in those trenches with their feet soaking wet constantly, and then over they went. Over the, oh dear. Anyway, that's just, that really gets me. It really hurts. It just makes me so sad and angry, which is not a great combination. But beautifully written, really beautifully written, a wonderful tribute to the heroes. So thank you, Red Summertime. Even though I'm nearly in tears, it was beautiful.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you so much, Katie. All right, where are we to next?
Where are we to next? I love that. This is, There Were Foxes. There where foxes wish good nights. I'm sorry, by Hatch.
Oh, and I think this is my turn. I like Hatch. I get the when I told about collaboration, I actually got to collaborate with her, so she's one of the only ones. So then I will happily read Emily's poem. There where foxes wish good night. The air is heavy, a mixture of a resin and a moisture. Of the morning dew, daisies glisten in the haze, reflecting the first sunbeams peeping through the fluffy clouds, eyes catching hundreds of rainbows on petals. Two green lizards bask on a mass moss-covered rock. Mimicry par excellence. A dragonfly flies in a triangular route, buzzing like an instinct, like an insect bony helicopter. Tired butterfly sits on the porch, and the wind is motionless. I whisper his name in vain. The wind is silent, and ears won't catch the echo of my desires. Night clouds hang low overhead. They cover the moon gliding across the sky. I murmur, love, love, you smell like clay, mud, and night storms. End the poem.
Beautiful read, Daniel. And how touching is that, you know, here where foxes wish good night. The air is heavy, a mixture of rain and moisture. Of the morning dew, daisies glisten in the haze, reflecting the first sunbeams, peeping through the fluffy clouds, eyes catching hundreds of rainbows on petals. That's such a beautiful scene that she paints in that first stanza. And then tired butterfly sits on the porch. The wind is motionless. I whisper his name in vain. The wind is silent and his ears won't catch the echoes of my desires. And just a fabulous, right? You know, it's so naturalistic and full of beautiful imagery that it was just captivating throughout. So beautiful, right? What did you think, Daniel?
I did think it was beautiful as well, too. This one's silver in a beautifully descriptive contest, excuse me, which I can absolutely see. This is very descriptive, and like I said before, I have trouble writing those type of poems, so I very much admire them. And I really liked, tired butterfly sits on the porch, and that almost to me is her. And the wind motionless, I whisper his name in vain. The wind is silent, right? So she's saying that she's whispering, but the air is not carrying it. His ears won't catch the desires, so she's whispering, but her love is never going to hear that. So I thought that was just so lovely and so beautiful for that one stanza. I really like how she worked that in. Awesome job, Hats. Great to read.
Great comment. Thank you, Daniel. And Weaver, what are your thoughts?
Oh yes, it was very well read. Yes, I really enjoyed that. It just again, you have that lovely first stanza, sets everything for you, and then I particularly liked two green lizards bask on a moss-covered rock, mimicry par excellence. A dragonfly flies in a triangular route, buzzing like an insect's bony helicopter. That's a beautiful description, isn't it, of a dragonfly? Buzzing like an insect bony helicopter. Ah, so cool. She is. She writes beautifully. Hats. I've always enjoyed her poetry. So that's another beauty. Thank you so much for sharing that with us.
Beautiful comment. Thank you, Weaver.
And next we have "Does Not Stand By" by Stone Caused Waves.
Cool, and that, I believe, is your turn, Gray. So go for it when you're ready.
All right. God does not stand. God does not stand at the crap table of speculation raised due to human convoluted succumbings unto creased interlocking of extremities, still clutching straight flesh of yet leaking ideologies drawn from stacked rudimentary deck dealt by her hearsay's adhesive flanges welding unto renegades ploy of Steerage's mind, mustered, deceitfully seasoned, reveled, rose. End poem. Well, that was an interesting write. What did you think, Daniel?
It was very interesting. And you know, I'm not an overly religious person. I was raised Catholic, but I don't really follow that. But I've read. I'm very interested in all philosophies and religions, and I've read pretty much, you know, I will read almost any religious text that comes my way because I think they're fascinating. And so talking about this, you know, it's very interesting to compare God to gambling. You know, when gambling is considered a sin, but he's talking about it as gambling. Where is it here? So, still clutching straight flush of yet leaking ideologies, drawn from stacked rudimentary deck dealt by heresy's adhesive. So kind of really descriptive in all of gambling with how it becomes chaos. And I think he's trying to talk about how if you have faith, then you're not gambling. You have a path, right? You have what you're doing. But you know, gambling is considered evil because you're kind of gambling your life away, right? You're taking chances on things that you don't have to take chances on. So I thought that it was very interesting the way that he the way he described that. I hadn't seen that type of description of God before. So interesting. Great job, Stone Caused Liz. Very interesting.
Great comment, Daniel. Thank you. And Weaver, what are your thoughts?
Well, I don't know that I have that many thoughts to communicate at the moment. Like you, Daniel, I'm not particularly... I mean, I think anybody who has genuine faith is very lucky. If you can believe in something that you feel can make your life better, I think that's wonderful. There's nothing wrong with any of that, just I'm not particularly enamored. And... but I can see this. I can see he not standing at the crap table because, you know, he is clutching a straight flush. But unfortunately, it's not really doing what it should because it's still leaking ideologies. It's still not being accepted as he would want it to be, I think. And that's kind of what I take from this, which probably is completely wrong, but there you are. That's my thoughts. And it was very well written. I really thought it was very cleverly written. And have you seen Stone Causeway's face? Oh, it scares me. Wonderful. I love it. He's staring right at me. Okay. I think you're wonderful. Very well done. Thank you.
Yeah, I thought it was great. It's based on a picture prompt. God does not stand at the crap table of speculations. Oh, sorry, I guess that's not the prompt. And anyway, that's a picture on the poem. But yeah, you know, God does not stand at the crap table of speculations raised due to human convoluted succumbings unto creased interlocking of extremities, still clutching straight flesh of yet leaking ideologies, drawn from stacked rudimentary. You know, it's powerful. You know, I like the way it relates the game of poker to and gambling to God, you know. And I'm not religious in any way, but, you know, it definitely has some points that are well made. So, beautiful job. Thank you for sharing Stone Caused Waves.
And next we have Daniel, carry on, please. What did you say?
No, I was just saying, yeah, I agree with everybody. So, just rambling.
Wait till you get to my age. Rambling is the sort of thing you normally do. Okay, now we have Tying the Knot by Nuno Cardoso. Did I say it correctly? Probably not.
Yeah,
I think so.
Oh, good, yay,
right.
Yeah, good.
And, ooh, this looks like a really interesting composition. And guess what? I think it's your turn, 8, so.
What a pleasure. I love it. He always gets me. He always manages to trip this little old lady up. So this is going to be fun. Strap yourselves in, folks. It's going to be a bumpy ride. Like tying the knot. I want to tie the knot. Let's see. Slip knot. Live or sit on a bench, watch the sunset, the tumbleweeds roll, the dust settle, grass moving with wind, forget about everything except for that moment. Me, you, us, we, one, do not crumble all over me. For I could not handle the crack of the vase where your passion fruit seeds have grown. Blossom, keep on blossoming, please. Never forget I can't eat, sleep, drink except for the concept of you. I'll eat, sleep, drink to that. My body, your body, ours. Tia Amo, and I'm afraid I can't pronounce that one. I do apologize. End poem.
Beautiful read, Weaver. And what did you think of the poem, Daniel?
Great read, by the way. I love this composition. I've always wanted to try something like this. I'm always horrible with the pictures, though. He's definitely painting it, drawing like an actual picture, and I don't know what it is, if anybody knows. By the way, I don't know if there's anyone on the board. I haven't seen. If anyone is, please say hi if you're on the board. It almost looks like a snake, like a space in the name. What's the snakes with the wings on their heads? What am I spacing? The cobra. It almost looks like a cobra. That he painted, which is really interesting. So, Nuno, you'll have to let me know if that's correct or not. And I like his play with words on the composition. I'm going to talk about that. So, except for the moment, me, you, us, one, where it kind of dwindles down, but they do not crumble all over me, and clever to have crumble kind of crumbling down, that I thought was really good. And then where everything is kind of, I'm almost falling apart with the story, and I thought, if I know Nuno, that's, or Nuno's work, I think that's where he's coming from. So it was very interesting, and I do love the composition of it. I'm trying to look up fast here what that last sentence means. Oh, and it means, I love you, passion. Does I love you passion fruit? So maybe that's what it says. That's what the Google translation meant. With the very last TMO maracuya. Oh yeah, because there it goes. For I could not handle the crack in the vase where your passion fruit seeds have grown. Blossom, keep on blossoming, please. In the very end, I love you passion fruit. So excellent, a lot of fun, you know. Excellent, excellent job. Very creative.
We have a caller, area code 415. Who's calling, please?
It's AJ, Sour J.
Hey, Sour J, how are you?
All right, how you doing, man?
Good,
hey, Jay. What's happening?
Did you get to hear the last poem?
I read it. I didn't get to hear it, but I read it.
And what'd you think?
I love it. I love how all the words, like, they crumble down by, like, leaves, you know. It's very romantic, you know. It's full of, you know, don't let this fade away, you know, kind of thing, you know. I love it. It's really good. I like the use of the word blossoming, too, because it kind of reminds me of, you know, it's like fading, but at the same time, I want the memory to live on, you know, so it's not actually fading, it's glowing. So I think it's pretty clever.
Great. Well, thank you for calling in. Appreciate that.
No problem.
All right, Katie, what do we have next?
We have next, Drinking Alone by Hope Soul.
Oh, yes, of course we do. Hope and Nuno. Romantic poetry couple of all poets here. And I'm sorry, the new caller, was your name AJ, did you say?
Yeah, Sour J.
Sour J, okay. Great to meet you. Do you want to give this one? Are you on the board? Do you want to give this one a read?
Yeah, I'll give it a read, sure.
That would be great.
Drinking Alone by Hope Soul. Night sky which holds the moon touches the daybreak of your dawn. Hold me close, I'm in need of you. Though we're hours apart, breathe in stars that explore. Northern lights which brings life to the loneliness that crawls up my legs. The scaly cold touch causes this body to toss and turn. Morning empty space that grows. Red wine is warm just as you are. I spilled over my bed, watch as it slowly takes over. Pastel sheets. Arching my back, I reach outward, spreading my hands across gliding curves in your woman. Small splashes of dewy reds kiss me over and over again. Merlot touches thick thighs, heels of my feet pushed downward into memory foam cushions, causing puddles to form, lifting 10 toes in the air. Slow rose trickles, works its way towards the fullest part of me. I gather in my palms the tang of alcohol, letting it pour from between my fingers onto my naked body, bleaches pale skin to a deep grape red, calling out your name in a light moan with no response. Begging soon leaves pouty fan lips, dark hair sticks to my back, dripping drunk wine down my tailbone. I bleed out the desperation of want, dying a little more to this as each midnight comes. End poem.
Wow, fantastic read, and beautiful poem. Yeah, you bet. You know, you can feel the absence and the need in this poem. It just cries out for her lover to be there, and unfortunately he's not. So she dies a little more as each midnight comes. But yeah, fascinating, right? Very well done, Hope. What are your thoughts, Daniel?
Very beautiful, as always, and I could be totally wrong, and I hope I'm not saying the wrong thing, but I believe Nuno and Hope are a couple, and I also believe they live far away from each other. So, you know, I've read multiple times, you know, poems of longing from Hope for Nuno. And I love the night sky which holds the moon touches the daybreak of your dawn. So, you know, that kind of twilight, and we talked about it, I talked about it on one earlier about that twilight, and that's, it's kind of romantic where, you know, that's what she's thinking of, is that her lover is, she's seeing the nighttime come, but that's her lover's dawn, and wondering about that. Hold me close, I mean, you knew, though we're hours apart. You know, I'm not very, you know, the love I know in my life is my wife. I've been with her for many years, since I was 18, and I'm an old man now. And we're very rarely away from each other, but when we are, I do think of, it still feels like I'm close to her. I could think of her and still feel kind of like, you know, she's there, and I can feel that in her writing. So great job, very very romantic, very very beautifully written, and always enjoy your poems. Hoping a great read, by the way, as well on that too.
Thank you, Daniel. And Weaver, what are your thoughts?
Yes, another beauty, another wonderful one from our Hope. I did enjoy this. I do love the sentiment, the passion, the longing. So beautifully written. Expressing herself so well, and obviously letting us know how it feels, I think might help a little bit as well to get that out and on the page. But I thought it was beautifully written, and it's sad and sweet and though sad and sweet. Thank you so much for sharing.
Thank you, Weaver. And Sour J, what did you think?
Well, it's funny. I mean, this poem is very romantic, and it's very sad at the same time. She says that she's only hours away from him, but I think that he's dead. And I think every midnight she drinks just so that her mind is closer to him, because she's more in a deathly state kind of thing. So I think, like, every midnight she takes that red wine and she goes on her bed and tries to see him in front of her sort of thing, you know, or something like that. I think it's very beautiful and creative, and it's a masterpiece, I think. Very clever, and it sounds like it's almost true. I'm not sure, though, but it's really well written, so it might be.
Great comment. Thank you, Sour K. All right, Weaver, what do we have next?
Well, I was kind of going to ask, gentlemen, normally Front Page Picks, we do the first hour and then we go on to open poetry just after the second hour, but it's now coming up to, well, for me it's 4:30. Do you want to go on to open poetry, or would you want me to do more Front Page Picks? Please let me know.
I think we should switch to open poetry, quite honestly. Give them a chance.
Yeah. I thought so too. That's why I thought I'd mention it, because time goeth on. Okay, well, let's...
Excellent idea. Excellent.
Let us go with the very chap that we have here who can read his own. I thought I saw it. Hang on. Where is it? Oh, here we have Sarah J. Here, I got you. One second, my dear. I'm going to get this up for you. Just play amongst yourselves. I'll be with you in a moment.
That's no problem. That's no problem.
Thank you.
Looks like Uncle Ernie's on the show, is on the board as well, too. And Lulu's on the board. Hey, it's waking up now. The place is hopping. Late night. Everybody's already done their bar hopping, and now they're coming over to us for the party.
I like it. Well, they should just join in. It's great fun. So this is My Rope of Time by Sour J. Would you like to read your poem for us, please?
Of course. I love to. Okay. It's called My Rope of Time by me, Sour J. I hold on to the rope time let me climb. I don't know where it took me. I just know every knot is a memory, and that every tiny strand of straw can't come undone. Because for better or for worse, the universe I've created will change. As a matter of resource, I've allowed myself to be me. Because as long as there's a will, there's a way. And even if I let go, my only hope is not for the rope to stay, but for it to be worldwide. And done.
Well, beautiful read and a fabulous poem. You know, it's metaphoric, it's rich, and it's thoughtful. You know, you really express a lot of your inner thoughts in this, which is a powerful thing. So thank you for sharing. And Daniel, hold on, we got a caller here. Hello, area code 915.
Oh, come on, Gray.
Hey, Lou.
Hi, Daniel. Hi, Weaver. Hi, Sour J.
Hi, hon.
Hey.
Glad you could call in.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, now we're cooking here.
Ha.
Yeah. And did you get a chance to hear his poem, Lee?
Yeah, I got to hear most of it. You know, what I liked about it was how he experiences his life and, you know, how, you know, each knot, whether it's good or bad, is a memory, you know, and that's what helps lead us in our footsteps forward. You know, because things do change as time goes on, and you know, we take that information with us. If it's something bad, you know, we, you know, hopefully we learn our lesson, and the lesson is learning from it. And then when we have our good lessons ourselves, you know, we can be proud that those hard lessons we learn, the good lessons we learn, make us that better person that we are, even if we let go of the rope, because those strands are still embedded in us. Enjoyable. I love the poem, Sour J.
Thank you so much, Lee.
You're welcome.
Great comment, Lee. Thank you. And Daniel, what are your thoughts?
I loved it as well, too. I'm kind of obsessed with time because I can't figure it out. So I write a lot of poems about time just so I can try to figure it out myself. But I like that, holding on to the rope, time let me climb. I think that's really, really interesting.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know where it took me, and that's true. You know, we don't know where it's going to take us, right? We just kind of have to keep climbing. And every knot, I enjoyed that metaphor of every knot as a memory, right? So you kind of
Yeah.
Because if you're climbing a rope and there's knots, that's a place to rest almost, right? That's a place to, like, you put your feet on. If anybody's ever, I know we're all over the world here. I don't know if anyone's ever been in the United States and gone through gym in the United States. They have the rope climbing, and you can rest on the knot, right? And so I thought that was really interesting. And every tiny strain of straw can't come undone. And that's really, I love that line too. Now, I don't know what you wrote that for, Sour J, but I thought that was just full of hope, where every strain can't come undone. You know what I mean? You might have some unraveling, but the rope of time, there's always hope. There's always a direction to go in to do the right thing. So I thought this was great, really interesting, and a great metaphor. So very enjoyable, my friend.
So can
great comment. Sure.
The straw can't come undone part, I was actually referencing the fact that you can't change the past.
Ah, excellent.
That's
like
true.
That. That's absolutely true. And that's a great sign of hope as well, too, I think, because we, you know, I'm quoting the Jedi's here, but don't worry about the past. Don't, you know, because it's gone, right? Don't worry about the future, because there's not much you can do about it. It's going to come anyway. Just, you know, concentrate on the now. So I think that's great. Thanks for the clarification. Always great to hear it from the author themselves.
Absolutely. And Weaver, what did you think of the poem?
Oh, I thought it was very, very good. And I liked those first two lines as well. I must admit, I thought they were wonderful. And as it went on, I liked it even more. I like, Daniel, your comment about the knots in the rope. I know in Scotland our men wear skirts or kilts, but when we were climbing ropes in gym, we didn't have any knots. We just had to keep climbing the dastard thing. So that was hard going, especially if you're like me in 4'10". It wasn't easy. But, yeah, that is just lovely. I love the idea of the universe I've created would change as a matter of resource. I've allowed myself to be me. Because as long as there's a will, there's a way. I do love a cliche. Fabulous. I really do. I think there's so much. People just don't use them enough. I wrote a poem calling myself the cliche queen because I love them so much. So there we are. That gives you an idea how bad I am. But I thought it was wonderful. And thank you so much for sharing that with us, Sergey. It was great.
Clichés are powerful. As many as would disagree that everyone understands them. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay,
great comments, everybody. And Lou, what did you think? I already got you, sorry.
Gray, I can already tell you didn't make a list.
Oh, my goodness me. Oh, I love it.
Well, I mean, just in the last like, 10 minutes, we've almost doubled our team here tonight, you know, so it's crazy.
Crazy. Okay, well, we have coming up next, we have... Way Back Home by Stellina.
And I think there's an audio with that.
Yes.
Is there
excellent.
Good-o.
I don't think it made it into the studio, unfortunately.
Are you sure?
Yeah, I'm looking at it now.
Bill said she got him out.
Well, I can see it. I can see the SoundCloud. If you
yeah, but it didn't.
Hold on, I'm looking.
Hold on, Stellina. We'll get to you. Don't worry.
I'm looking to see find it.
Very interesting. Anybody watching the picture she has? I'm very interested in this. The picture that she has in the prompt.
There is, I don't see it either. I see Arcana and Weaver and Richard and Naomi and something for rewards. Yeah, I don't see it either. Oops. Maybe you can save it. If you want to, we can add it to Monday's show.
Yeah.
Or we can add it, I don't know who has the show. Yeah, we can add it for Monday.
Yeah, good idea.
That Yeah, that's a good idea, because this looks like a really interesting SoundCloud.
Yeah, and she does fabulous SoundCloud. I would like to honor that. She's fabulous.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I bet.
Hey, Naomi. Naomi is on the board, so Naomi.
Okay.
All right, so let's do another one.
Another one. Well, we have Driving Away by Naomi, and this, I think, has a SoundCloud also.
Yeah, it does. All right, here we go.
Driving away from you, top down, radio blasting, country roads, take me home, but it's all wrong, because it's not the place I belong. I pull over to the curb, text you, I already miss you, wait, then wait some more, glaring into my cell phone. Long minutes stretch on forever into silence. A crow dances back and forth on the telephone line. Caw, caw, stupid girl, stupid girl. I push the car into gear, slam the pedal to the floor, stare at my hands gripping the wheel and my dumb fingers that typed in that text. Watch the crow take off flying. Watch him till he disappears. Wishing my heart could do the same. Just a sad girl sitting in the old car thinking of a boy. Of you. Of you. And you some more. While my tires grind the extra mile that takes me away on country roads. Home to a place where you don't exist, where I know you never will. Stupid girl, stupid girl.
Wow, that was a beautiful read and such a heart-wrenching poem, Naomi. You can feel your emotions in this, right? And when you're leaving somebody and you're on that country road, what better song than Country Road, Take Me Home? Because that's where my heart is, and that's where I belong. So I thought it was beautiful, right? And a fantastic read. Thank you so much for sharing, Naomi. Lee, what did you think?
This is, very deeply emotive, heart-wrenching, and deeply sad. It's amazing to me how when you say goodbye and you're looking in that rearview mirror and you pull over because, you're crying, you're devastated because you're leaving somebody you've loved and, had a life with and experienced things with. And then, you pull over and it's funny, the things that you see when you're heartbroken and, the way that even the animals will speak to you when, you see when whichever animal it is. And here, you talked about this crow and, where you said you sat there for long and it stretched on forever into silence. Crow dances back and forth on a telephone line, just like your heart pounding. And then they start making noises. Ah, God. And in your mind, you start thinking those thoughts, thoughts about yourself where you beat yourself up and you're just stupid girl, and then I want to comment more, but I'm going to let somebody else comment on this poem. But this is fabulously written because you caught the heartache of somebody that is feeling such immense pain. Well done, Naomi.
Absolutely. Great comment, Lee. Thank you. And Sour J, what are your thoughts?
I think this has, Quiet Girl written all over it. Like, as someone who was always single your whole life until very recently, I always, started to fantasize about a certain people. And I feel like even though this wasn't quite a fantasy, it's still like, you know, she texts the guy, but she hates her fingers as she's texting. She doesn't hate what she's saying, but she hates that she can never, like, get down and say it, you know, or else she was already been with this person. And she's literally hearing the crows tell her how stupid she is for not being brave. And I think that has symbolism in it, because crows are very brave and very free, you know. But I think this is amazing. I mean, she just put, like, so much effort into, like, conveying what it's like to be lonely and madly in love with someone, you know, and not, that person not loving you back. So I think it was a great poem.
Thank you, Tara J. Much appreciated. And Daniel, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, this is very heart-wrenching, and she got me again, because I didn't think at the beginning that's where it was going to go. I thought it was just, I could hear top-down radio blasting. I mean, Country Roads, Take Me Home. So I thought she set it up great, because, I mean, almost every time I'm driving, I got, tunes blasting on my car, but it's all wrong. It's not the place. I pull over the curb and text you, but then what a mistake that was, and now she's regretting it, and there's just so much, you know, it's really amazing what people can do, especially ones that were involved in, just how much they can kind of drive us crazy. So yeah, I could really feel this, Naomi, if you're listening to, as far as your heartbreak and your confusion, and, you know, just, you know, you shouldn't have texted them, right? Now you're just a stupid girl, stupid. Why did I do that? Why did I get myself involved in this? And you know, unfortunately, I think we've all been through something like that at one point. And it was just very beautifully and well done, and great description. I could feel the angst and the anxiety that you put into this. So awesome job. Absolutely.
Excellent comment, Daniel. Thank you. And Katie, what are your thoughts?
Oh, I thought it was lovely. So sad. My heart's breaking for you, Naomi. It may have been a few years ago, but it doesn't actually ever go away, that feeling. I mean, I'm not presuming this is real life. I'm just saying how well it was written that it makes me believe it actually happened like that. You did it so well. I felt that pain. I felt that feeling of, oh, why? Why was I the first one to say I love you and I got nothing back? You know, that kind of thing. And it's exactly how you feel. Stupid girl. Stupid girl. So I thought it was beautifully written and very well read, too. Your voice was lovely. Thank you for sharing.
Great comment. Thank you, Weaver. All right. What's up next?
Well.
Hey, I got to go, guys.
Okay.
Okay. Good night, Sour J.
Hey, Sour J. Thank you for calling.
Thanks,
Howard.
Appreciate it.
It was nice to be here. So I'll call again soon, okay?
Absolutely.
Sounds good.
All right, you guys take
care. Anytime.
Good night. Good night. Okay, I have to tell everybody to be very careful not to be shocked by this. This was not written by me. This was written by my alter ego, Knitter of Nightmares. So there's a SoundCloud for it, thank goodness. And she sounds terrible, just, you know, but play it anyway. Why not? So Lust for Love, my Knitter of Nightmares.
With one simple thought burning hot within my restless mind. There's a lust for love and life akin to a cyclone that is nature unchained. It's 2 a.m. I am alone, my body screaming for sweet release. I need a fervently fevered force to match my ardent delirious desires. Beyond these four walls are endless opportunities for serotonin eyes. Passion needs no more than two willing, eager bodies with amorous intentions, who share a willingness to reach with lips, tongue, touch, a fiery, lascivious unison. Alas, there is no one in the middle of the night who might come to my aid. I kick the damp sheet aside as I smile and reach once more for Old Faithful.
Sorry. I'm bad. I know I'm bad.
Lee, would you like to comment on Weaver's poem, please?
Yes, I definitely will. I mean, you know, you always give such a powerful visual at the ends of your poems that just kind of just, you know, kicks our brain cells into that moment and those visuals. What I liked was the steps that, you know, how the steps the mind takes, you know, when we're thinking and it starts activating those sensual cells within our body, just sparking them and setting them on fire. And, you know, I really, and your couplets were just absolutely delicious, my sweet. And where you go, there's a lust from love and life akin to a cyclone that is as nature unchanged. It's 2 a.m. I am alone and my body is screaming for sweet release. Woo! You go there. You go there.
Oh, dear.
Oh, yes. That was, and then that last line, oh, that was, you know, you just find yourself giving that smile of, you know, of silent seduction. Ooh, ooh. Well done, Katie.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, darling. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Lee. And Daniel, what are your thoughts?
Yes, so first of all, I wanted to say that I'm going to use that from now on. I'm going to say that's alternate. I didn't write this. That was a different personality. I'm not responsible for this. So that's going to be my excuse. I'm going to do as well, too. But, no, this is great. This is, I won't comment on Old Faithful. We'll let the imagination do.
Yes.
Decide what Old Faithful is. But I thought it was extremely passionate and Louie said, it's just descriptive. You know, we've all been, you know, well, getting too detailed and lying in bed and, you know, had kind of amorous thoughts and there we go. And that's what's happening. And, you know, I just the description of how it's kind of building up within you and just, the serotonin highs, you know, beyond the four walls of endless opportunities, I thought was just an awesome way to say it. So great job. Great share. Thanks, Kate. Really appreciate it.
Thank you. And I'm sorry I embarrassed you. I'm terrible.
No, please. Nothing embarrasses me. Not at all. It was great.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
No, not at all.
I got to say, it takes a lot to make me blush, but I sure blushed during your poem. Beyond these four walls are endless opportunities for serotonin highs. Passion needs no more than two willing, eager bodies with amorous intentions who share willingness to reach with lips, tongue, and fury, vivacious, lascivious, unison. And then, you know, I kick the damn sheets aside and I smile as I reach once more for Old Faithful. Wonderful imagery, and the emotion is palpable. So thank you for sharing. Appreciate it.
Thank you, my dear. It's very kind.
Absolutely. No. That would be a great one to end on, but we have time for more. So we should keep
going. Yeah. Right, let's have a look now. I could go back up to the front page picks. I'll pick one out quickly, and we'll get it on the board. One moment. Unless there's something else you want me to do, is it okay just to carry on with this?
Mm-hmm.
No, I think that's open poetry, then that's great.
Yeah, as far as I know it is anyway. So we have Damnation's Flame Giggles from the Grave by Alice Macabre.
Cool. And do you want to give that a read, Lou? I don't think you've read yet.
Yes, I will try. And here we go. Damnation's Flame Giggles from the Grave by Alice Macabre. Rays of ruby silk lit up the sky. 'Twas but a noose to hold innocence hostage. Hitter patter, skitter scatter, shadows,
regrets left behind. A chorus of sorrows slithers on the wind. The deconstruction of an apology, a mausoleum of melancholic echoes, silent lying behind muted screams, eyes devour a venomous sign. The will turns and fate smiles murder. Memory awakens to dying moonlight, children's laughter giggles from the grave. Death sups on anguish, a feast of amusement for one. High perhaps a pretty poisonous puppet, ripe pickings for the reaper. Fear festers in the bones of joy. The ghost gnash and gnaw at its carcass. Midnight youth yearns for dawn, yet there is a horizon of damnation slain and pump.
Thank you. Would you read the author's notes, please?
In 1986, the year I was born, it was also the year in which the ripples from a nuclear disaster would still be felt decades later. Long after Chernobyl haunted me, long have I dreamt of visiting Pripyat, abandoned places sing to my blood. This was such a joy to write.
Thank you. And I really found the poem quite haunting. A chorus of sorrow slithers on the wind, the deconstruction of an apology, a mausoleum of melancholic echoes, silent lies behind mutilated screams. Wow, just powerful, right? What are your thoughts, Daniel?
Yeah, this is definitely very powerful, and it is eerie. I've seen videos and so forth of going back to Chernobyl, and there's places they still can't. You still can't visit. And this won the silver, I think, for one of Rex's contests, I believe. Well-deserved on it. I like fear festers in the bones of a joyless city. And it is true, because when the city's gone, the building and everything are kind of like the leftover bones, right? Like the city's dead. And ghosts, I like the alliteration of ghosts, gnash and gnaw. Even though it's, you know, the G's on Nash and Nara are silent, it's still alliteration in my book, at its carcass, midnight youth earned for dawn. So that's really great description of what you could be. And it must be really eerie. I've never been in any kind of a ghost town or an abandoned town. I've been in abandoned buildings and all, like whole cities or towns, and it must be very, very eerie. So excellent job. Loved it.
Great comment, Daniel. Thank you. And Weaver, what are your thoughts?
Yes. So, another such a sad, sad thing, and it really gets you. And it was beautifully written as well, because it has got that eeriness, that memory hanging, just hanging, and you can walk into that, and it will hit you. It's not something you can forget or leave behind, but it's beautifully written. A chorus of sorrow slithers on the wind, the deconstruction of an apology, a mausoleum of melancholic echoes, silent lies behind muted screams. Oh, my, brilliantly. I mean, I really, really enjoyed this. I thought it was very well written. And kudos, Alice. It was, it got me, definitely got me. Well done.
Thank you. And Daniel got dropped. He said he's back, so I'll just pick him up. Oh, you're back. Hi, Daniel. Welcome back to the show. And would you like to comment on Alice Macabre's poem? Hello? Hello,
hi, sorry,
Daniel.
I'm there. Yeah, you got me. I already commented earlier, so we are good with that.
Oh, okay. Lee, what are your thoughts?
Well, then what I loved was, you know, we see this Ferris wheel. I think the Chernobyl contest was done by Dex. He's a, you know, he's new to the Friday shows, and he's doing some deep subjects and, you know, very painful things that we experience in our life. And how can you not look at a Ferris wheel and not see people eating cotton candy, children running happily with their hot dogs, the music playing, the smell, the sounds that we hear, and the laughter of that Ferris wheel just going around it. When Chernobyl went off, it, you know, the radiation that it caused, that it has become a place of haunting landscapes of, you know, the, you know, it's terrifying. It's terrifying, you know, just imagine if this happened to us in the United States and there was a whole section, you know, of land that nobody, you know, because you can't go in there because it'll kill you. But, you know, for them to have, you know, their outfits on and they go in there and see how much radiation's in there, the scientists. And, you know, the pictures that they take, you know, it burns an image in our mind that we will never forget in our lifetime that this happened. All somebody has to do is, you know, say the name of this town or, you know, just talk about, you know, what had actually happened there in how it has stole the innocence. It stole the innocence of children that will never experience this. And, you know, and she says that, you know, here it's just like she goes pitter-patter, you know, you could hear the footsteps and the skitter-scatter, you know, them running shadows, regrets left behind, you know, the you know, just the horrors of Chernobyl that in our lifetime, and in the lifetime, it's, you know, children who are taught this, you don't forget it, you know. And I really thought that she did a fabulous job in writing about death, not only the death of people, but the death of life, the death of enjoyment, enjoying life. And I thought she did a fabulous job, and congratulations on her silver and front page pick.
Great comment. Well, thank you for calling in to share your heart, your mind, your voices, and most especially your time, Daniel, Weaver, Liu, and Sour J. Much love, everybody, and take care.
Good night, everybody. Love you guys.
Good night, everyone.
Good night, everyone. Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night, Liu. Catch you later. Good night, John Boy. Ha ha ha.